بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تزكية and purification is at three levels. Allah Ta'ala makes this the basis for your salvation. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. So He makes it the basis of your salvation. Then this purification is at three levels. The first level is to get the aqaid right. That is, the aqaid should be in accordance to the aqaid of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat. So that's the entry level. Without this, you can't get into any type of tazkiyah. And there are different words that have been used in the Quran or the Hadith for the same thing. Tazkiyah, call it tasawuf, call it akhlaq, call it suluk, or in English they call it Sufism. So, but all are getting at the same. The importance of this is understood that one of the duties of the Nabi, يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ, to recite the word of Allah Ta'ala, عَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, and to instruct them in the Quran and the Hadith, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, and to purify them. Now they explain that why does Allah Ta'ala bring about tazkiyah at the end, at some place. The reason they give is that all this ta'aleem and tilawat must bring you to tazkiyah. يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, must bring you to tazkiyah. Because without the tazkiyah and the correction of the belief, you know where. So you can only start off when there is the correction of the belief. It is the correction of the belief that you start moving. And the belief is corrupt, not right, incorrect, inconsistent. Can you make any progress? No progress. So the individual will think that I am online. And he's not online. So the basic level of entry is getting the aqaid right, the beliefs right. And now what's going on, the way things are going so swiftly, it becomes more important to check the beliefs at all times, to see now if the belief is right or not right. Are we online or are we going off? But there's so many things that are coming one and the same time, all rushing at you. And now you are just one person, one solitary person, and you have to defend yourself. So the media is rushing at you, the WhatsApp is rushing, the influences, the environment, the society, everybody is on one line. Right? And now you want just one solitary person, and you need to defend yourself. I ask you, is it an easy thing? That's why al-qabidu al-jamr. It's like holding on to fire, an ember of fire, how difficult it is. But then, as difficult as something may be, Allah Ta'ala will create the roads for ease as well. That's the plan of Allah Ta'ala. When something is difficult, but it's important, then Allah Ta'ala will create some passages for ease as well. Right? But then, you have to hold on to that very firmly. Now, if you're not going to hold on to it firmly, and you say it's difficult, then it becomes difficult because you're not holding on to that anchor or that handhold firmly. Al-Mustafa Rahmatullah gave a story about a saintly person, right? He worked on his murid and he asked him to go and make tabligh in Multan. Long story, most of us may have heard the story. But en route, so he saw one jogi and he worked on him. And now, the moment he worked on him, it's a long story, Now he saw that the current that was in him now, he lost the current. Now when he lost the current, he went back. So now the current is gone. I don't see that type of steam. I don't see that current. I don't see that power now. Then the right thing is to go to the powerhouse, correct myself. Rather than continuing, I made some basic error here or there, and I need to know what's the error to correct myself, and then I can continue. But I'm going to continue like this, and all the steam is going to be lost then. He comes back, and the Sheikh shouted him, see, I asked you to go to Multan, not to walk on the road. But now, you think to yourself, to walk on the road, was it haram? He's making tabligh, he's inviting people towards deen, was it haram? But it's against the procedure. I asked you to go and work there, and you didn't follow procedure, so absence of following the procedure, and all the steam is gone. Now you're doing the work, but it's like you're pushing. Imagine it's a car, and one is the car is moving with its own steam, own power, own strength, it's working with the petrol, right? And now the engine is out, and you're pushing that car. So you're dragging yourself, you're pushing the thing, how much you're going to cover? So the right thing is go back to the powerhouse, correct yourself. So in this time of corruption, etc., you need to hold to this, and hold to it very firmly. Then just close your eyes, put the blinkers on the right, on the left, just hold to this and move on. And really, the enjoyment in this path is after you have given this level of commitment. Otherwise, when you don't give this commitment, then what happens is the nafs and the shaitan have the better over you. Mustafa has his words approximately, that shaitan in mashayikh se darta hai, kaamta hai, unse dur rehta hai. Right? But now, shaitan got different approaches with different people, he'll have different approaches, but the idea is the same thing. I should attack. An ordinary person, he will have a different approach. An educated person, a different approach. An alim, a different approach. So he's got approaches for everybody, and the idea is to attack. So how to attack? So we're talking about the three levels. Today, I explained the first two levels to the final years, and I didn't get to teach them the last one. It takes time. You see, for you to understand, at matric level, you need to go from grade 1. And one shot, I take you from grade 1 to matric, you're not going to appreciate this stuff. Now, people do not know it's just a concept, so why don't you share the concept? I'll share the concept, but it'll be just words for you. And tasawwuf is not about words. It's not about just understanding. Tasawwuf is about a whole new transformation, the whole outlook changes. You look at life from one perspective, now you're looking at life from a different perspective altogether. Now that doesn't happen overnight, generally. For who Allah Ta'ala wants, He can make it happen. He can fast speed the thing. He can fast process the thing, He can do it. Nobody can stop and restrict Allah Ta'ala, He can do it. But then, the normal is that you go through the procedure, you come at the end. Sometimes, people that try to do this, fast forward, right? Then en route they get an attack, and they can't manage it because they're fast forwarding it. It's too much for the mind to take, but they got an attack. Some health complications come about. So you're doing it holding on, but holding on firmly. See, the talim is too important. When I look at this whole thing, the talim and the sohbat is too important. And I find this like a preservative, any person, but you're holding on and holding on firmly, then I find it as a preservative. Before we should just hear the words of Hazrat Rahmat Ali, peer ho aur pareshani, ye to nahi ho sakta. Now you see it as a reality. That time Hazrat Ali used to say, you will learn the words, but you will only get to understand the words later on. So now that you're just learning the words, don't underestimate the words. Because these things will unravel to you with time. You hear about the enjoyment of marriage at the age of 7, right? But now it will only unravel at the age of 17. 7 you heard, but it takes you another 10 years for that thing to unravel. So some things in your mind as well, you will learn the concept, but it unravels after with time. And now you can't say, because I know about these things here, therefore I know the mystery that's behind. You can't say that. So many a things you have to go through the experience to be able to appreciate it. If you didn't experience it, how can you enjoy it? How can you appreciate the thing? So while explaining these concepts, so just thought flashed the mind. See? Sometimes it is min indillah, it's from Allah Ta'ala, then we appreciate it. So explain, see, today the trend, the fashion, right? The fashion is that I must be a neutral person. So loved by this person and respected by that person. So I'm a neutral person. So in so doing, what I will have in my mind, I will be maintaining the unity. I'm maintaining unity, so that's in the mind. Maintain unity, so let me be neutral. I will not speak out against them. I will not speak out against these people. So I'll remain a neutral person and I'll move on. So now, the person's niyat may be sound. We cannot doubt the person's niyat, right? But is it the right thing to do? So I said, see, yeah, some things at a level, at a very high level, right? There you cannot entertain this type of an approach. Ibrahim alayhi salam, his house, his family, his people, his town, his country, right? All are polytheists. All drowned in shirk. Idolatry, right? All of them. Now he's living amongst them. When he's living amongst them, then he can have an approach, alright, let's learn to coexist. See, now this phrase may sound to be very, very catchy phrases, right? But now, we need to understand now who we're talking to. How will they take it? Will they understand what you're talking about? Let's learn to coexist. So someone will have an attitude, let's not talk about controversial things. Right? Let's join and just unite, right? But now, in so doing, now look at the story of the Anbiya alayhi salam and how did they carry themselves? Did they also coexist? So on the one side we are told, ثُمَّ أُوحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنِ اتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. You follow his way. Rasulullah is being commanded, you follow that way. Now, when he is caught up in this type of situation, and the understanding of Tawheed has dawned to him, so what's the first announcement that he makes? The first announcement he makes, is called Ibrahim li abihi wa qawmi, innani bara'um mimma ta'budun. I break away from you. I got nothing to do with you. Innani bara'um mimma ta'budun. See, that's first declaration. Now I'm asking in the class, alright, had Ibrahim alayhi salam not made this declaration, this announcement, what could have been the result? See, he kept quiet out just to maintain unity, following the Abraham Accord, right? And learning to coexist, right? So, he's done this, but what could have been the response? What could have been? The response would have been that this behavior of Ibrahim alayhi salam would have been misconstrued. That this shirk is not so bad after all. Because if it was so bad, that this man wouldn't have lived here, wouldn't have remained so silent and quiet about it. This is how it's going to be misconstrued. And if it was bad, then he wouldn't have been here. He would have just remained silent if it was so bad. But now, he's speaking out against it, so this is something serious. He's a solitary man. We have seen him for 40 years. He's not a man that will fight. He's not a man that's looking for publicity. He's not a man that's looking for recognition. You can see his whole life, there's no such a thing as recognition, publicity, etc. And now he comes up and he says, "Innani barau mimma ta'abun." I got nothing to do with you. Your worship, I got nothing. Kafarna bikum, wabada baynana, wabaynakum radawatul baghda. So we have just parted ways. A'tazilukum wama tad'una min dunillah. I'll move away from you. So if it was a light thing, then he wouldn't have had this stance here. For any person that is talking now against it, now I ask you, is it important that we make the stance clear, or just maintain the peace and let's carry on? See? So if you maintain the peace, so-called peace, then people misconstrue these type of things. One person came and asked me, nowadays they have weddings in different stands, right? So recently, not too long ago, so there's a wedding, and the new style now is that they have it in a, like a garden. They have one house there or something in a garden. The place is, the whole place is rented out for that weekend or however, 1 week or whatever, and they have a grand wedding there. So he's telling me that, see, I went for that wedding, but I'm not feeling easy. Though there was a learned person that was addressing the crowd, I said, what makes you so uneasy? See, there was music that was blasting away, photography there. There was no discrimination, right? Men, women, not being discriminated, everything is carrying on. Alright, so the host, that means the girl's father, is my personal friend. At the end of the whole thing, he had to say, see what Mulana says here. He says, the main thing is unity and the goodness of the heart. That's the main thing. So that means the music can blast, mustn't talk about it. You can get the men and the women mixing up, don't talk about it. Photography can carry on, mustn't talk about it. But now you see, even the host, how you misconstrued the whole thing. So that is not so serious, the music is not serious, the intermingling is not serious, the photography is not serious. Can you see now how people misconstrue? Now I had to sit the person down for 1 hour, explain the whole concept to him. But you see the misconstrue. You remain silent. I said, no, I like to be neutral, not fight. I don't like to take sides. So now you saw Ibrahim al-Islam at an usuli level, at a basic level, and what was his stance, right? Then again, look at Ibrahim al-Islam, or look at the Sahaba al-Kiram, at the secondary level, right? One is usul, that you can't compromise. One is at the secondary level, right? In jihad, Khalid radiallahu anhu, he used his discretion and he did something, right? That some other time I'll explain what happened, right? He did something, but he used his discretion. He's not prompted by nafs and shaitan, but his discretion. He felt that that's the right thing to do. And this is brought before Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Rasulullah, again, see now he stands. When he's brought, he says, Inni bari'um mimma sana Khalid. Those that are teaching hadith, they must have come across this word. I've got nothing to do with this. Now, from the one perspective, if you look at this, this was not an usuli thing, it was an imani thing, right? And Khalid radiallahu anhu wasn't prompted by nafs and shaitan to do what he did. He used his discretion, and in using his discretion, he erred, right? But then Rasulullah makes it so clear, Inni bari'um mimma sana Khalid. I got nothing to do with it. He could have had that attitude, alright, this man Khalid radiallahu anhu is not so long in Islam, because he accepted Islam around the 6th or the 7th year of Hijrah, right? That's the time that he accepted Islam. So this one have taken place about 1-2 years later. So he's not very well versed, so don't make a noise about it, just keep quiet, just remain silent about it, and don't repeat it. But now, Nabi Sam makes an announcement about it, Inni bari'um mimma sana Khalid. So what prompted Rasulullah to make this public announcement? Understand now, it wasn't a thing about Iman. But then Rasulullah again makes a public announcement. You see how it's coming out. He's not saying it privately, for a private class or something. He's opening, he's declaring it out. Now that's the second level, right? Now at the third level now, right? Even a genuine ikhtilaf, a difference of opinion, right? And I ask you, right? Any parent, he's got some values. Any parent, any Muslim parent has got some values. He sees his child hanging around with someone that is experimenting in drugs, right? He's not taking it. You're confident about your child, but he's in the same circle. They're taking mandrakes, ecstasy, whatever, but he's with that circle. Now, will the father allow this, consent this, or he'll make a big noise? Will you stop it in the tracks, make a noise, etc.? And if the son turns around and says, Abba, you know, there's two things that you have to consider. This is an ikhtilafi masala. Because the sahibin are saying, Ma askara kathiru faqalilu haramun. Imam Sabr Rahmatullah is saying that laysa biharamin in lam yakun tamaran aw inaban wa kana qalilan. So the Imam Sabr is saying something else, and the sahibin are saying something else. Right? Imam Sabr is supported with Imam Abu Yusuf Rahmatullah. Imam Sabr Rahmatullah is supported with someone else as well. But Imam Sabr's opinion this is, right? Now, if that son turns around, he learned at a madrasa, and he says, there's an ikhtilafi masla. In an ikhtilafi masla, you can't have that approach. You can't be so hard about it. I ask you, the father, whether he's an alim or not an alim, will he entertain this type of a discussion? Why? I ask you why. There's an ikhtilaf, there's a valid ikhtilaf. Any person that is studying or teaching hadith, he'll know that there's an ikhtilaf there. But I ask you now, why does he become so hard upon you? You do that. You just go there, I'll break your legs for you. Won't the father say that? So why did the father have that approach? If it was a light thing, it was, there was an ikhtilaf in it, mukhtalif fi masala as it was, then I ask you then, what was the reason for the hard father to have such a hard approach? So you have to say, no, there was something in this thing here for the father to take such a hard approach. So you see now, sometimes this knowledge comes into the wrong hands. When it comes into the wrong hands, it's misconstrued. But then I asked the boys, alright, where this ikhtilafat and all that, differences, where do they originate from? You know, alright, we saw there's a problem, there's an ikhtilaf, right? But where do they stem from? See? Now again, you look at the same story of this Abdul Rahman Multan story, you'll find, you'll trace the whole thing. If you look at the story, you'll trace the whole thing. That ikhtilaf starts off, see that Abdul Rahman that went to Multan, and then about 70,000 people accepted Islam at his hands, you know. If he had carried on, would he have seen the progress? Right? Would he have seen the progress? He wouldn't have seen the progress, right? Number two is this, had he carried on, then he could have developed that attitude that it's not so important to listen to my mashayikh. I can use my own ijtihad as well. Well, he's not an angel, he's not a rasul, he's infallible, right? Make a mistake, it's a mistake, it's my opinion, it's against his opinion, so he's not a rasul that I have to listen to him, right? Now, had Abdul Rahman had that type of an approach, would he have seen that type of results? So he understood now, hey, there's a problem here. I don't see the current. I don't see that strength. I don't see the morale. I don't see that power that I had originally. Now I must return, get myself corrected, and then move on. But see the approach. What was the reason for adopting, to adjust the whole thing, come back? What was the reason? So these problems come mainly, I won't say only, but these problems and the ikhtilaf come mainly because we are not referring to our elders. Elders means those that have got so many years of experience, understanding, right? A good high level of taqwa, righteousness, right? Generally, if you go with them, generally, I don't say it's a law, but generally you don't have problems. But if you avoid them, say, I'll do my own thing, they can say something, I can do my own thing. It's a matter of difference of reasoning and opinions, right? His opinion doesn't seem to be so sound. If it was so sound, then this person wouldn't have done this, and this person would have done this, right? And I ask you, do you have that support? Do you have the strength? Do you have that might? The might is gone, the support is gone, everything is gone. Everything is crashed. Now, just before this, you had the support, you had strength, you had might, you had vigor in what you were doing. Now that thing is not with you. So instead of playing mental games, you know, it's just a difference of opinion, it's just a key fear that I'm going through. Now, if I'm going to play mental games, then I'm going to allow the intrusion of shaitan. Shaitan will play games with me. So no, I must go back. See the Tabligh Jamaat, right? They do it quite well, right? Any adjustment they want to do is, you know, we'll have to speak to the elders. they came here, and in my presence, a lot of people are asking for programs, right? Now, imagine, right, those people that are requesting for programs, right, you can't doubt their sincerity, but they're asking. But my presence, I was very impressed when I heard my Ibrahim Sahib saying, Ya Mashwara Me Rakh Denge. I will place this into the Mashwara. Now the Jamaat ranks him over the highest, right? Although they don't say he's an Amir, but they rank him as the highest. He could have taken a unilateral decision that I'm going here, finish, kalas. You guys can't do anything about it. He could have done that. But then, he subjected himself to the Mashwara. Why did he subject himself? See that? He's subjugating yourself. Will you say it's haram? Will you say it was impermissible? Will you say it's makruh? Will you say that I'm not entitled to my own free will? Can you say that? If he said that it was right, he felt that that was the right thing. But then he subjected himself to the Mashwara. Now you see the barakat, the Mashwara, and the work that flows thereafter. Mashwara said this, we'll go by this, we won't turn away from this. So holding on to that is a security, is a protection, it's a savior, it's a preservative. But my one suggestion, my one request is to everybody, whether it's a madrasa, whether it is a khanqa, whether it's a jamaat, but if there's any dini program carrying on, whether it's a bayan, whether it's a mashwara, whatever, right? So this is a suggestion that's general. It's not something particular with the madrasa, or the khanqa, or jihad, or jamaat, no. It's general for everybody. So if there's an important program carrying on, there's a program carrying on here, you're going out for gush, there's a mashwara, these are all important programs, right? So in the program, you are attending to something that is very important, right? If, for example, you are talking about madrasas, right, throughout the country, right, it's an important mashwara. You're talking about khanqas, for example, throughout the world, right? So it's important mashwara. I ask you, while that mashwara is carrying on, I'm looking at my phone, and all those participants are looking at the phone. I ask you, are you in keeping in conformity with the spirit of the sunnah? Huh? The sunnah is encouraging you to attend the mashwara. And the mashwara means you must give your heart opinion. Give your heart and the soul and give an opinion to this thing. Now, but while this thing is carrying on, I'm looking at my phone. I ask you, are you being fair? Are you key in conformity with the spirit of the sunnah? Now, on the side of the viewers, yeah, there'll be in any gathering, whether it's a jamaat, madrasa, khanqa, whatever, so you'll get all types, right? You'll get the junior, you'll get the senior, you'll get the double junior, you'll get the double senior, you'll get all types, right? And the situation can be misconstrued. I'm sure you try to misconstrue. It can be misconstrued, right? One person can think, alright, he's looking at something that is valid. Perhaps it's something related to the mashwara. So he's looking at something that is related to the mashwara. In Talim, perhaps he's caught onto a site and some valid suggestion has come. So he's studying that, right? He could do this, right? But the next person could say, alright, I don't think watching a video is so bad, because I think he's watching something here. He hasn't seen, but he is guessing now. What he watching? He's watching a video, or a movie he's watching. Or the third person can think, well, he's looking at an Islamic site. The fourth person can think, well, perhaps he's reading some Quran Sharif. The fifth person can think that he is looking at some porn, right? Because the mashwara is too long now, 2 hours, 3 hours now, parking there, getting tired now, so he's looking at some porn. Now I ask you, for the broader interest of the whole mashwara, is that the right thing to do? For the broader interest, for the whole mashwara, is that the right thing to do? Like you're sitting in a masjid. It doesn't have to be with a mashwara. You're sitting in a masjid, right? And you will not say that reciting the Quran Sharif from that gadget is haram. But there's a child that is watching what you're doing. At the back of the masjid, he's watching. So he thinks, alright, watching a movie is not so bad. Because if it was bad, then this old chacha wouldn't have been doing this. Because that's where his mind is going, movie or a porn or something like that. His mind is watching, going on that. See how it's misconstrued. And what things happen after that? Today the Ustaz Mashwara. He was Ustaz Mashwara. So I read an incident that came in the Arab news. Someone posted it to me. Arab news, this thing came in, right? I don't know which, from where he got it, which journal, or whatever, but it was an Arab news. I suppose it's the right news, right? So that article, what caught my attention was that emails from the grave. So if anybody sees that now, you're going to see, hey, is this email coming from the grave as well? What's happening? So that's how that article read. So I went through that article, and it says, in some of these countries, these things are banned, taboo, right? Especially if it is to do with porn or that, pedophile and porn or that, that is totally taboo, totally impermissible. They block you off somehow. So this young Arab now, maybe 29, 30, so he's going, he's seeing something and he sees this, like they use the term that they use, fire breakers and all that, blocking those sites. So he broke all those fire breakers and all that, he passed that, now he's coming to some porn. But I suppose, I didn't see this thing, I'm just thinking what must have happened. So he saw something that was very interesting. So when he saw that thing that was interesting, perhaps, you know, they show you one snippet and they induce you now, they encourage you to go forward. Like when they show something and they encourage you to go. I'm just imagining now how it must have happened. I'm reading the article and I'm thinking, alright, what has happened? Like I'm thinking like when we were sitting in a fruit shop in India, right? So you saw some pear or something. Give me a taste of it, you know. Then I'll purchase the thing. So I'm thinking the same line. So they gave you a snippet, try this thing out here, and then you can commit yourself. So he saw that was too catchy for him. So he wanted to go and see the thing himself. So they told him, no, you can go here, but you must put $100 something. That's the amount, fee you have to pay to get into it. So it was too catchy and he went into it. $100 he paid. He got the whole thing off, right? Now he got this thing on. So now he's got a circle of friends, 29, 30 years of age, about 30, 40 friends he's got. So they meet sitting in a party or something and say, you know what I got? Show them. Say, can we get through it? Don't worry. I'm just using those terms that I read there, you know. So he got this thing here. And he remailed it, right? Email and remail. See that? Understand? Email and he remailed it to all these 30 sathis of his, all friends. He remailed. You know, they're all getting excited about what we're seeing and all. Never seen something like this before. So they're getting excited. Right? So, whenever he's getting something every day, he's remailing it to all the 30 sathis. Right? See this ayat of the Quran Sharif. Inna nahnu nuhyi al-mawta wa naktubu ma qaddamu wa atharan. We write down all that which they have sent forth and what they have left behind. The traces that they have left behind, we write that, and what they have sent forth, we write that as well. Right? So it can refer to the good, it can refer to the bad. Wa naktubu, see the words are general. Naktubu ma qaddamu, what you have sent, and those things that you have left behind. Uskan nishanat al-qadam. In other words, the traces, the works that they have left behind. So it can be good works that you have sent forth, and it can be bad works that you have left behind. Both can be. Applicable both. You started off, there was no namaz taking place with jamaat, and you have started it off. Now, these things now sound like a little bit distant. I know, we grew up in the reunion, right? At that time, there was one person for Fajr Namaz. One person, right? 62 now, 62, 63, only one person Fajr Namaz. So Tabligh Jamaat and all came in, so now we have to get everybody to the masjid, how to get people. So some things are done as a temporary measure, it's supposed to be just stopped after that. You can't continue. As a temporary measure you did it, right? So just consider the temporary measure as a temporary measure. So I remember now as a child now, so what we did at that time was on a Sunday now, Sunday is off, right? So we started an old grocery van, you know, old, can take about 30 passengers, so old, big, nice van. So we go before Fajr and round everybody up. Now we are more interested in the ride. What do you know about these girls? You know, there's a free ride, we're going to go somewhere. So we round all those passengers, 20, 30 musallis, bring them to the masjid. After the Fajr namaz, it's more exciting. After the Fajr namaz, then we invite all the spirit home, and then cappuccino, coffee, and cakes, home laid out nicely. So waiting for that event. But now what I'm saying, that was a temporary measure, right? To bring those musallis to the masjid. After they'll come home, and they'll eat, they'll enjoy, and they'll wait for the Fajr namaz again. So we'll get something for it. But now, this is not a sunnah, it is a temporary measure just to attract them to the masjid. After you got them on, now you drop this thing here. You don't say, no, my elders did this, I must continue for the rest of my life. And I can't do that. But now this can work for the good and for the bad. The good that you have sent forth, and the good that you have left behind. The when musallis you brought them, right? The good and the bad as well. So, you brought the TV in the house, right? So say my elders brought it, they were watching Dini programs and all that. So I brought the good. So the elder brought the good, he's dead and gone. Children are viewing it all the time, right? They are also viewing it. He brought it, now we can't throw it. How can we throw this thing? It's a remnant, it's a sentimental value. Father bought this thing here, how must we just dump it? But you're more pious than your father. You should watch all the Haram Sharif and everything, news and all that. You should watch sports programs, you should watch. So what's so bad about it? You see? So what you have sent forth and what you have left behind, all are being recorded. Now we're coming back to the story here, this Arab news story, right? So he did this and all that is being remailed. When it's remailed, in the meanwhile, 6 months after this man died. This person who started the whole thing, he died. Now because he made an advance payment, so that mail is coming to them all the time. When the mail is coming to them all the time, so they thought, hey, this is not good, man, it's not right. Died now, and the tragedy is fresh in their minds, and they think, you know, it's not a good thing to be doing. So now, they tried to contact that company, that provider, let's just stop this. So they asked for his passcode. So now, nobody can find the passcode. Right? So then, we're sorry about the whole thing. For the next 5 years, this thing will continue like this. Because you don't have a password. What is the password? We don't know. But now, the lesson that I saw from this was that you got a sawab jariya, and what do you call this? Sawab jariya or guna jariya? Man is dead, he's clutching onto every straw for his survival to get into Jannah. And the line of guna that he's left behind, he started the thing off, he encouraged 30 people, his friends, he's dead and gone, and all of them are being remailed by force. They forced and to see this thing here. But you see the disaster, the problem that this thing comes with, right? So we're talking about these different categories, you know, of purity. Call it suluk, call it tazkiyah, call it akhlaq, call it tasawuf, whatever. All is coming up to the same thing, the purification. That purification will determine the quality of your reward. What? Because خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ وَمَلَى. So the criteria is the quality. And tasawuf, what it aims at? It aims at bringing about quality. So what is the whole purpose of tasawuf? To bring about quality. You bring namaz, doing everything else. But now bring in the quality of the namaz. So that proportionate to the quality is your reward. Then what time you're supposed to be giving to tasawuf to bring about that eligibility for the type of reward. Now you're not doing this thing here and you want to be eligible. Can you become eligible? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ وَمَلَى. The whole word that has been used, just think about it again and again. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ وَمَلَى. Now you get to the second level. We spoke about the first level, entry level, get your beliefs right. And the beliefs must be in conformity with the Ahl Sunnah al Jamaat, right? Sunnah, everybody understands what is Sunnah, Ahl Sunnah, right? And the Jamaat means the Sahaba Kiram. That means Rasul Pak, and the Sahaba Kiram, your belief, your thinking must be in that line, consistent. You haven't moved away from that thought. It's so easy to move away. It's so easy to move away. See this whole, yeah, pura jagra nafs ka hai. When I see this whole thing here, it's stemming from nafs, right? Now, you may ask, wait, how do you relate, how do you connect it to nafs? So understand the nature of nafs. Inna nafsa la ammara. The nafs wants its freedom. It doesn't want to be restrained, restricted. It doesn't want to be harnessed. It wants its freedom. In its thought, in its action, in its behavior, in its ways. It doesn't want to be controlled. That's the whole nature of nafs. See the Rahman kisa again. What's wrong if I give him dawah? What's wrong? So I don't want to be harnessed. I don't want to be controlled. I don't want to be restricted. And then what happened after that? Allah Pak's fazl, he understood in time, he came back. I'm saying this, that the nafs wants its azadi, its freedom, right? You know, you talk about the Ahl Hadith. So in the 18th century, India, in the 18th century, they were known as Ghair Muqallid, right? And they didn't like the word. Ghair Muqallid sounds a little bit rough, you know. Ghair Muqallid, you are a freelancer. See, freelancer. So they wanted a polished name. And the Ahl Hadith, the title was given to them by the English. See, the whole deen, what the world wants, that you must be a Muslim, but we will dictate to you how you must practice your deen. Who will dictate? The West will dictate and interpret and explain, give you the explanation to your deen. We will tell you, close the masjid, close the masjid. We will tell you, open the masjid, open the masjid. We will ask you to distance, you must distance. And you must use all the hadith, everything to prove our point. What we are saying, where we are taking you, we ask you, learn to coexist, Christians and all that, you must learn. So everything we will dictate, right? And you all must just take it from us, because we the new God. When we the new God, you just take the explanation from us. You see how this whole, I said that your thinking must be in conformity with the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, not the East, not the West. That's how your thinking must be. And what the West wants, that they will dictate to your religion and you must take it from us. Otherwise, you are breaking the unity, you are breaking Islam, you are fragmenting, you are disuniting, you are disrupting the entire ummah. Because they took control of everything. Media, finance, money, everything. They took control. So what's the next step left? See how it happens. See, this financing is a very difficult thing. People don't understand. Rum Rahmatullah says, the moment the judge took the money, his brains got blocked. He can't reason any longer. So I'll explain this whole concept to the class today. So without the concept, you won't understand. Now, there's a very big multi-millionaire company, right? So some of the friends come to me from the company, some managers, whatever, so they'll come. So now, this whole concept, I'm going to say how it works. And once the money comes, then the brain, the intelligence, the expertise, the competence, education, all is lost. Is blocked now. Now, after the year and after a couple of years, they're auditing the books. As they're auditing the books, they're looking at this white young girl, and she's in this bracket here, she's earning, she's supposed to be earning about 12,000, and now she's earning about 80,000. She was rated at 12,000, right? Now, in a few years, 1-2 years, and she just went about 80,000. What happened? Now they have to make an inquiry that she was worth 12,000 and what posted her to that level, 80,000. Now they're discovering, trying to research the whole thing. Eventually they found there was a senior manager that fell in love with this one here. And he kept on giving her promotions. After promotion, he brought her to this position. But you see, when that money came, the brains got blocked off. Can you see that? When the money came, the brains got blocked off. So, therefore, in this ummah, لا يزال طائفة من أمتي قائمين. There'll be a group that will remain on the original ways. You break off from them. But this group will maintain what? What it will maintain? The purity under any circumstance. You off. I will not keep shouting you, but I will remain to the on the truth. I will not branch off. No matter who you are, but I will not branch off. I remain on the original correct ways. So we are talking now of the second level. The first level is finished, right? Now the second level, what is the second level? Ashabul Maymanati ma ashabul Maymana. If you look at the tafsir, then it's also the second level of Jannah, right? First level is Sabiqoon as-Sabiqoon, those that are in the forefront of Jannah, right? And then you come to Ashabul Maymana. They're also Jannatis, but the normal, the general Muslims, right? Sometimes I get amused, and I get delighted also, when I hear of a normal person passing away, and then people come and tell me, sometimes it's a daughter, it's a son, someone, whatever. So they'll say that, oh, we saw our father, uncle, whatever, but in a silver palace. I get delighted. Because this is the ranking. The higher ranking will be in gold, and the second ranking will be in silver. So now, I don't tell the person the second ranking, but if you got Jannah, you be thankful you got Jannah, right? At least you got there, isn't it? But it's exactly what comes in the hadith. Their palaces are of gold, and their palaces of silver. So it's in exact conformity. Sometimes young people come and tell you, we saw this thing here. So they didn't study the hadith and all that. Right? So now, the second level. So what is the second level of tasawwuf, right? The second level is, there's two things that are very distinct in the second level. One is, you're leaving out things that are of a doubtful character. That hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir, Al-Halalu Bayyinun wal-Haramu Bayyinun. Halal and Haram are all clear, right? So at least you want to get in, right? You want to get into Jannah, at least get the primary things right. So the primary things get right, you know. When I say get the primary things right, is that you want a clearance, right? You know, you came to the customs and you want a quick clearance. For the clearance, you need to be clear. You can't be having any baggages, any blockages. You got blockages and baggages. Will they give you a clearance? They'll give you the clearance, but if you are clear, you got baggages and everything with you, now you want a one shot, you want a clearance. Allah wants to make it happen, it can happen. But that's not the rule. It's an exception to the rule. The rule is you must be clear. Now for you to be clear, you need to have these two things right. One is al-halalu bayyinun. So you leave out the doubtful areas. When you say doubtful areas, what do you mean? The doubtful areas, if you look at it from one perspective, it looks like halal, permissible. But you look at it from another perspective, it doesn't look right. From one perspective, it looks right, and another perspective, it doesn't look right, right? Now a simple example is, you got a phone, right? And, alright. So, you see your son coming in, and quickly press some button, right? So, you didn't want him to see what you are looking at, right? But within your heart, you know that there's something not right here. I'm looking at a sports thing here, I'm looking at a movie, at a Hindi film I'm looking at, you know? I'm looking at something. So from one perspective, he's looking at it, he thinks he's right. My one cousin now, he's late now, Allah forgive him, right? So he went to India, Pakistan, he says, tell me, I gave a 1 hour bayan, you know, in Urdu. I said, boy, where you learn the Urdu? So the Hindi films. So from that perspective, I'm learning. Huh? I'm learning something. So he felt it's right what he's doing, because he's learning. He's not looking at the show that. He's looking at the language. But that afforded him the opportunity to give a bayan in Urdu for 1 hour solid. That's how he's looking at it. So from one perspective you look at it, right, you see the permissibility. The other perspective, the woman that goes, the music that goes, the haram that goes in the whole thing now. Now you look at it from another perspective, no, it's not right. So he said, no, al-halalu bayyinun wal-haramu bayyinun. Halal is clear, haram is clear, right? So I'm looking at it from that perspective, that there is an element of doubt here. If some ulama are saying wrong, some are saying it's permissible, right? So now, then this hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir, Rawahu al-Bukhari wal-Muslim, right? Then what does it refer to? Here the saying is permissible, here the saying is not permissible. But I must leave it out. To be on the clear side, leave it out. So this is the first requirement on the seventh level. Second level, you know, we're approaching Ramadan, prepare ourselves. Right? Don't look for permissibility. Don't look for exits. The words of Umar radiyallahu anhu, وَلَا تَرُوهُ رَوْغَانَ الثَّعَالِبِ. Don't be crafty like a fox. What does a fox do? It slides, sneaks away, you're putting a barrier, it's trying to avoid the barrier, going through, going for the kill, right? That's the work of a fox. But this Khulafai Rashid, in fact, all the statements are about the same. When you look at this tafsir, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَوْضَ رَبُّونَ اللَّهِ, you'll find all the statements are going towards the same thing. But don't experiment in these things here. Don't become sly, look for exits, etc. Make a plan for you. In your business, you can make a plan, right? SARS and all, you make a plan. Inshallah, you won't be gunegar, right? You won't be sinful. You won't be doing haram, right? But Allah Pak's work, by peace, for Allah Pak's sake, don't look for plans. Just hands up, Allah Pak, I accept it. Made a mistake, I make tawbah. But looking for plan, one plan after the other plan, a second plan and third plan, until you are drowned in haram, and then for you to come out of it, is it easy? So this is the first thing that is required in the second level of tasawuf, right? So the one aspect is halal, haram, and you are making sure that you're not experimenting in things that are of a doubtful character. The second aspect that's required in the second is that to ensure that the akhlaq is right. See, every human being will have some thoughts of show, ostentation, jealousy, greed, pride, stinginess, right? Everybody will have this thing here, right? Illa man rahim Allah. But naturally everybody has this thing, right? Now, to replace these things here with ikhlas, with sincerity, with gratitude, with humility, right? With total devotion and dedication to Allah Ta'ala. So all these evil traits have to be flushed out of the system, replaced with this thing here, right? Otherwise, you're in for problem. You are in for problem. Allah Pak is saying, La yuhibbu kulla mukhtalin fakhur. I don't love you. I hate you. Why? Because of your pride. Because of your boastful attitude. Now this boastful attitude, Allah Pak says, I dislike it. So is it a thing of mustahab? Is it a thing that is just on the level of optional? No. Can't be optional. If Allah Pak says, I don't like it, then it can't be at a level of option and not an option. Then I need to see, I need to check up very, very carefully that this thing exists in me or it doesn't exist in me. Now then, you will ask, alright, then what's the need of a sheikh then? I can flush it out of my system myself. The one student wrote up for the Muhammad Thani Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the essence of the answer was, kabhi hasil ko ghair hasil samajhte hai, aur kabhi ghair hasil ko hasil samajhte hai. Or kabhi isko takleef hai mala you talk samajhte hai. So there's three problems that you will encounter if you don't have someone supervising and checking on you. Sometimes you got ikhlas but you think you don't have ikhlas. Sometimes you don't have ikhlas and you feel you've got ikhlas, right? And sometimes you think, you know, this ikhlas is such a difficult thing that it's beyond the normal person. So you are accusing Allah Ta'ala that you made the Shariat not like la yukallifullahu nafsan illa usa. It's more than that. Allah Pak is saying that I don't ask you to do things that's beyond your strength and capacity. And you are making an allegation to Allah Ta'ala that definitely Shariat is more difficult, beyond the reach of the common person. Now I ask you, any three of these things, are they right? So don't you need to be supervised, corrected and shown, alright, your faras is right, you don't have these things in your system, or you have it in your system, right? So this thing will have to be monitored and corrected, right? And they're corrected, you get the clarity of the mind, and there's someone that is supervising you, but there's nobody, then you think you've got it, and maybe you're lacking in it. Allah Pak Tawfiq Naseeb.